I was working in my lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. A movie that was made based off a play that was based off a song in the 1960s. It was the MASH. It was the Monster MASH. The Monster MASH. It was a...
It was a graveyard smash.
This is B-Movie Mania Halloween Spectacular.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Hello, and welcome to B-Movie May... B-Movie Spookania? B-Movie Scary Time?
Don't force it, Mike. Don't force it.
Okay. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. This is your number one favorite guest and champion and winner of the contest, Michael B.S. Hayes. Yeah, that stands for bullshit. With me, as always, is crazy Chris Hudson.
Your vote was rigged.
Also, Jason Hulls.
Extremely rigged.
And also, Mr. Paul Brooks.
Well, thank you for the question, Michael. I do appreciate it. I believe that the president's position was very clear. He enjoyed Monster MASH, the movie, and this vote was not rigged. And any media outlets, so-called media outlets, that say otherwise are just disrespectful, and it's just really distasteful.
Are we so-called B-movie maniacs?
How was that? Hey guys, how was that?
Pretty good.
That was spot on.
I'm practicing for my Halloween costume in a couple days. I'm going to be Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Are you serious?
No, not
with a beard.
God damn it.
With a beard.
That's a shame. That would have been
that
pretty good. Gentlemen, we did it. We watched a Halloween movie, and...
Yeah, what a Halloween movie it was.
I guess we're done. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. And I guarantee this episode, if we ended now, would be 20 times more entertaining than the movie.
Boom!
But I get ahead of myself.
No, this hasn't been entertaining yet. Let us talk about it. Let us sing high praises to this low-budget film.
Quick takes!
All right, Chris Hudson, what's your quick take?
Not the worst movie we've watched for this podcast.
All right, changing your tune slightly. Paul Brooks.
I'm like almost ready to sneeze. Hold on.
That says it all.
He's allergic to talking about this movie.
Not a joke.
It was a graveyard sneeze.
Quick take. I think if you're like 62 years old and you're done with... you just got done with your job on like a Friday night and you want to grab like some dinner at Olive Garden and then head home for a Halloween flick. I think this is right up your alley.
Jason Hulls.
I had trouble not falling asleep while reviewing my notes for this movie.
Yes.
And myself, my quick take is I think it's a really interesting concept. The... way it was done, not as much.
Well, Mike, that was also very diplomatic. That was as if Candace Cameron is listening to this podcast with what
no,
you just
I was genuine. I was genuinely interested in why the fuck this movie was made, because it's obviously some sort of, obviously a cash-in on the idea, and we'll get into how this has nothing to do with the song. But, like, it's just a weird idea that someone thought was take this novelty song and then make a play out of it. But I guess the guy who wrote Bobby Boris Pickett wrote the play as well. But then someone 30 years later, 40 years later, made this movie.
Not just someone made the movie. Someone, the minds behind the first Toy Story movie.
Yeah, and a bunch of other actual garbage, though.
Were they, I started looking through the IMDb a little bit for the writers. They could... did they actually write this, or were they just credited for some, like, story on it?
Yeah, it's two of them, because Joss Whedon also co-wrote Toy Story and someone else, but these are two of the four writers.
Okay.
But these guys are also responsible for some other garbage that I forget, and I don't even have the effort to even look up right now.
I looked it up, and everything was garbage.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad.
They've only luckily were allowed to be part of Toy Story, it looks like, so... This isn't that much of a surprise knowing that.
But Mike, was it still a graveyard smash?
The movie, I don't know. We're about to find out by the end of this episode if it was.
He did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
Does anyone want to... I mean, I'm just going to ask one person. Does one of you want to talk about what the plot is? Because we can go through the storyline in about 2 minutes.
I'll do it.
Go, Paul. What happens?
Two teenagers are...
Wait, Paul. When you say teenagers, do you mean like legal teenagers, like 18, 19, or underage teenagers?
They're of age.
It's important.
They're of age. Maybe you missed the big plot stuff. Maybe you weren't paying attention, Chris, but they were college students.
Hey, okay. I totally missed that because all I saw was Igor creeping on Candace Cameron the entire movie.
Okay, well, Chris.
And I wasn't sure how old she was supposed to be.
Chris, we're going to get into the real creepy, like, stuff going on here. All I need is Paul to tell the plot real quick so we can just ignore that and just talk about all the weird shit that went on.
Two fucking teenagers go to a party, or are supposed to be going to a party, but their car breaks down or some shit, and they go to this mansion to take refuge from the storm, and they stumble upon... Dr. Frankenstein's House of Horrors, and hijinks ensue.
Our car broke down just outside your gate. We were wondering if we could please use your phone.
Go away.
Hey, pal. It's pouring outside. Our car's broken. We just need to use your phone for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I have a calling card.
Yeah, they get there, and then there's a bunch of monsters that want to have them for themselves, and then the movie ends.
Like, yeah, oh, can I handle just the little end part? Can I handle the little end part?
Yeah, please, Jason, please.
Okay, they leave.
yeah, but that's, you know, it. What I want to know, I would like to see a movie that takes place after they leave, because their truck is still broken down at the end of the movie. They did nothing to fix it. How did they get home?
They got to get across a river that doesn't have a bridge anymore. Like, nothing has changed. They can't leave. So the play that was written was the bridge has flooded out or something.
I'm sorry, the bridge is out. You'll have to spend the night. By Bobby Boris Pickett and Sheldon Allman.
Yep. Bobby Boris Pickett, as we all know, is the weird guy who sings Monster Mash.
And is Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And plays Dr. Frankenstein in this movie.
Hello, AAA. Dr. Victor Frankenstein here. Oh, Hyannisport. A car has broken down just outside our gate. Yes, again. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, he's amazing in this movie. He was actually pretty good.
The only good thing in this movie.
I will admit that. Like, the only mildly interesting thing is that he wrote the song and then later got to be in the play as Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. And he got to sing the song in this movie from the play.
Which is...
That wasn't actually in the play.
Right.
It's just included in this movie.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that is not going to make much sense. But what I would like to point out, and I maybe you guys will disagree, is that... So this is a musical, so there's about 5 songs in this movie. The titular song, Monster Mash, which, as Chris just said, was not in the original stage play, was about the most awkward song in a musical that could possibly happen. It did not fit at all within the context of what was happening in the scene.
Oh, yeah, that's something that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, there's a handful of songs, they all kind of fit in, right? Like, a musical will be someone starts talking and then sings song and then sings, right? But this one was just, like, egregious.
Well, it'd be pretty weird if it was Monster Mash the movie, but then Monster Mash the song wasn't in the movie. They had to do it, obviously.
They could have played it over the credits.
Yeah, which they did both times. The beginning credits, in the middle of the movie, and then also the ending credits.
Which, to be fair, is a standard, like, musical approach. You know, you reprise things a couple times.
Sure.
Did you guys know that there was actually supposed to be another song in the movie that didn't make it in?
No. What, like, one?
Well, I have the lyrics here. I'll read them. It goes, "Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. Everywhere you look, everywhere
what?
You
no.
go, there's a heart,
no.
a hand to hold on to. Everywhere you look, Done. Everywhere you go, there's a face
no.
of somebody who needs you. When you're lost out there and you're all
Thank
alone,
you.
A light is waiting to carry you home.
Thank
everywhere you.
You
look."
I can hear Bobby Pickett say that. "Everywhere you look,
there's a heart.
Somebody who needs you."
Yeah, so Candace Cameron's in this. We all know her as the
yes.
sister for Kirk Cameron. That's her. That's what she's famous for.
And this came out, Monster Mash came out the same year that Full House was ending in 1995.
So she really turned that Full House experience into great success.
Well, I thought this movie was a TV release, like, after watching it. And then looking it up, it was a theatrical release, which was a little surprising.
That really surprised me.
Yeah, because it feels like a TV movie.
Yeah.
But it ain't.
Wow,
it
you
wasn't.
Know what? I should have, if I'd have known that, I would have looked it up and seen how many theaters and, like, what the box office take was, because I can't imagine it's more than 50 bucks.
Yeah, it couldn't have done well. Well, Hudson, what did you want to talk about? You were talking about being skeezed out a bit.
Yeah, just a little. I think so Candace Cameron and her boyfriend or something. Oh, yeah, it was her boyfriend, but love is a little bit too strong a word for what she feels.
Do you love him?
Love's a pretty strong word.
They are constantly, constantly hit on by all the monsters.
The barrage.
Oh, God. Igor is creeping on Candace Cameron. Dracula is creeping on Candace Cameron. Dracula's daughter, well, I guess she's creeping on the boyfriend. Werewolf's mother creeping on Candace Cameron for her son, the werewolf.
Yeah, she's been a real, like a Jewish mom, kind of like, I want to get my son hooked up with this woman.
No, I don't mean to be so bitter, but you're really quite a hound. Find yourself a mate, have a litter, settle down. If the moon comes out, don't squeal, she's your missus, not your meal. The things a mother goes through.
Yeah, and all for all you, dance TV show fans out there, the werewolf was actually played by Adam Shankman, who's like a So You Think You Can Dance choreographer, and one of Dracula's girls was Carrie Ann Inaba.
The Draculettes?
She's a judge on Dancing with the Stars. So I'm not really sure why the heavy dance crossover. There was some, but not a lot of dance. And the Wolfman, I don't think danced at all, did he?
Wolfman didn't dance at all. But the Draculettes did. They were one of my favorite parts. I guarantee Paul's favorite part.
And the Romeo, the boyfriend, was all leching all over them.
Oh, please. They mean nothing to me. Except for that one on the end there.
Scott.
Paul, what'd you think of Carrie Ann? You're a big... Carrie Ann Inaba, you're a big Dancing with the Stars fan. How did you feel about her role in the movie?
What the fuck are you talking about? What?
Paul, we're talking about the Monster Mash.
I want to go back to something Chris mentioned just a second ago.
The Monster
whole,
Mash?
The whole love is a bit of a strong word thing going on. Scott and Mary, that's their characters' names, right? They make it pretty clear that they're together and that they're going to be, like, married at some point relatively soon, right? But then when somebody asks Candace Cameron's character if she loves this Scott guy, she's like, well, love is a bit of a strong word. So it's, like, really mixed signals from her for some reason, and I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah, and that's before they fight, right? Because there's obviously a romantic conflict that happens.
That's like the high point of their relationship in this entire movie.
When Igor's intentionally putting them in separate rooms, and it's fucking weird and skeezy.
Well, that made sense to me to an extent because they weren't married yet, but they just seemed, or Candace Cameron in particular, seemed very hot and cold as to whether or not she actually liked the guy.
Classic Full House.
Classic, yeah. I'm in college, I don't know what the fuck
classic
I'm thinking.
Classic DJ Tanner.
Thank you.
Now, by DJ Tanner, do you mean Candace Cameron's role in Full House, or do you mean Stephanie Tanner's DJ name in Fuller House?
Oh, dude. Deep cut.
Wow, Mike.
Someone has seen more than the first episode of Fuller House.
May have had someone tell me about it. Anyway, let's move on. So I guess, why don't we talk about these monsters then? Jay, which monsters were in the house? Who was there for the monster
well,
mash?
You had Dracula and his wife.
Yes.
Nasty, right? Countess Nasty?
Nasty.
Oh, that's right. She said, call me Nasty. That's
Natasha,
right.
You can call me Nasty.
Permit me to introduce to you my wife. She is also a count, but she spells it differently.
Countess Natasha. You can call me Nasty.
Yeah, they were in there. They had the werewolf and the werewolf's mom.
Hey, just remember that the werewolf says that what he has is a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
Very important in today's tumultuous healthcare market.
It's a very timely movie.
Yes. Yeah. You've got Dr. Frankenstein and his monster and Igor. And then, I'm glad you asked me to do this, Mike, because then you also have Elvis mummy, like a mummy who's Elvis, and his, like, booking agent, Hathaway?
Yeah, Hathaway.
And they quite literally do nothing of importance in the movie. They are just there. Out of all the useless characters and plot lines that don't matter and nothing matters, they are top of the heap.
The keeper of the rock, the protector of the roll, holier than whole. In his infinite wisdom, he has ordained that this is the best time to go into the garden and bring back the Tanner leaves.
What? Did he just say?
Elvis has entered the building.
The manager is fucking Jimmy Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's a big name at that point,
did
right?
Did he owe someone money?
Probably.
I read something about, you know, the fact that, Mike, you mentioned that the play was written in, like, 1967,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, was performed in 1967 when Elvis was still alive. And so I think that they had to kind of retool the movie a little bit because since it, you know, didn't come out till like 1995.
Oh yeah, and they clearly couldn't just cut that part out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why not just cut? Like, no, it doesn't matter though, because if you start cutting things, then you have about 5 minutes of movie.
But it wasn't a mummy like pretending to be Elvis. It was supposed to actually be Elvis Presley.
Yes, and he was a mummy. And it made no sense. And he didn't do anything. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. They didn't do anything that mattered.
Hey, Jimmy Walker was responsible for several of the funniest bits in the movie. Like that time he was standing behind Candace Cameron's door and so she opened it and was knocked out when the door hit him in the face. And then that other time when he was standing behind the same door and someone else came in knocking him in the face. Oh, and then there was that third time. He was standing behind the door, and someone walked in.
Hey, come on now. If anyone appreciates repetitive humor, it's you.
Oh, that's true. I do love repetitive humor.
It's like that time.
It's like that time Jimmy Walker was standing behind the door.
So are there any points in this? Okay, so this movie was just heavy with a lot of lazy writing, it seemed.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, like where they write a situation to make a bad joke, and it's that kind of lazy sitcom-y kind of humor.
Yeah.
Like the constant time, the overplayed fucking cliche joke that kept happening where Igor would have a good idea, or none of it was good, but, you know, he had an idea, and then Dr. Frankenstein would call him an idiot and then have the same idea. Like, that happened about 10 times in the movie.
I know. We could slip them some slumber powder.
I've got it. We'll slip them some slumber powder, and they'll sleep soundly through the night.
That's brilliant, Master. Why didn't I think of that?
Because you are an idiot.
Yeah, like this whole thing, this whole movie is just that sort of regional theater humor. That's all it is. Like I said, if you're 62 years old and you're looking for a good show on a Friday night, you're going to love this.
You know, and I would say, I'll give it this. I'm sure the stage play version is probably much more entertaining than the movie, because one thing that bugs me sometimes about musicals that are like filmed movie musicals is that, like, you don't... Part of going to a musical is seeing the people actually perform the songs live and see them do it. And when you put that into a movie, it just doesn't have the same effect, I don't think.
Well, this is one of the main things I wanted to touch on. And Mike, I hope I'm not skipping around too much. It doesn't seem like we're really going to go point by point here.
No, you did it before. We're done with that. We covered
it. The Monster Mash thing. When I rate this movie, it's going to get probably at least 5 points less because of the Monster Mash scene. Because I'm like, okay, well, at least we're going to have the song in there and there'll be a fun like dance number to go along with
it. Oh my God.
Nobody did anything. They sat at the table
yep.
and just sort of like moved their hands a little bit and just sort of listened to Bobby Pickett sing, and that was it.
That whole thing was so awkward.
Didn't the Draculettes at least dance in that scene? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, but did. I mean, they dance when they're taking a shit. They don't
That's
count.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, that, yeah. So the scene Paul's talking about is they're all sitting around for dinner, right? Like you would in any movie where a car gets stranded and goes up to a creepy house. There's dinner because the host wants dinner. Every fucking movie has it.
Right.
What do they even ask? Why does the song get sang? Oh, no, no. Oh, my God. I fucking forgot. Holy shit.
They ask him, like, what his speech is going to
yes,
be or something?
Because the Scott, the kid, he gets real comfortable with Bobby Pickett real quick out of nowhere. And he's just like,
so tell me, Doc, when they finally do award you with the Nobel Prize, what are you going to say in front of the Academy?
Oh, that's right.
Out
of fucking left field. Like, what are you talking about?
It feels like they couldn't figure out another way to work in the actual song, so they just had to come up with some bullshit to get it in there.
There was no mash.
Yeah.
There was no party.
Talk to the Toy Story guys about that.
This movie very much should have been a fucking party movie, and it wasn't. This could have been an amazing, zany 90s comedy about a party that we're having with monsters, but no.
Yeah, they didn't go far enough with it. Maybe they didn't have enough of a budget for choreography or something, but it's like they couldn't really figure out what direction they wanted to go in, because it's tame enough to where kids can probably watch it. And Jay, this is what I wanted to, you and me were talking earlier and I disagreed with you on this. I don't think it's really aimed at children. It's really kind of aimed more for like kind of older adults, in my opinion, but
I think so too.
They just didn't go far enough with it to be able to figure out who it was even supposed to be for, really.
Hey, Paul, no. you left one demographic out of that, the people who appreciate hairy Robin Williams jokes.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, I can see that, you know, what you're saying, Paul, because, I mean, you do get Dracula going on and on about how he likes to be with prepubescent girls. And
oh, then, that's so gross.
And then, like, Igor makes the hump joke to
Candace Cameron.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah. And
she says
there's
no
a couple other, like, sort of creepy things like that, too. But, yeah, it's like juvenile adult humor.
I'm trying to think of who's like an old school comedian whose style this sort of humor is.
Ugh. Well, Werewolf did like a Curly from the Three Stooges sort of thing around the floor. Does that count?
Yeah, but that's obviously a slight against the Three Stooges. But it's kind of like that, just not very good.
But no, just wish this would have been Kid and Play's Monster Mash. That would have been amazing. Like, then it would have been a party. All right, well, okay. Does anyone have any parts that they actually laughed at? I can admit one.
There is one line I like.
Do you want to say it?
Sure. It's right at the beginning. When the Dr. Frankenstein comes to see Candace Cameron and her boyfriend at the door, he says,
"What do we have here? Orphans of the Storm?"
And I thought the phrase "Orphans of the Storm" would make a cool title for something. So I like that.
So this wasn't necessarily a joke you liked. You just liked the fact that he said a sad thing.
Orphans of the Storm. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
what
that's
was yours,
my thing.
Mike?
Well, I genuinely chuckled when, we mentioned it earlier, Igor is taking the two up to their rooms, and they have separate rooms, and one of them says, "Wait, separate rooms?" And he says, "Yes. Well, wait, are you married?" And they said, "No." And he goes,
"Then it'll have to be rooms. House rules, you know."
And I kind of thought that was funny, like, for whatever reason. Like, the bit, I don't know.
It's kind of like the one joke I liked where Igor and Dr. Frankenstein were talking to each other. And Dr. Frankenstein tells Igor that you don't get paid to think. And Igor is like, I don't get paid at all. And Frankenstein's like,
there you go again, thinking.
Yeah,
it's not funny, in the moment I kind of chuckled at it.
In the moment you find yourself chuckling, you're like, wait a minute. Paul, do you have anything you thought was genuinely funny you can remember?
I mean, the only time I laughed is when I watched this movie with my girlfriend per usual, and I laughed every time she stuck her head under the pillow and screamed when a musical number came on. Because that was funny. Literally, I have photos of her just screaming.
God, hey, that's
Paul,
amazing.
Did she scream at the revelation of why Candace Cameron's character was named Mary?
I think she fell asleep at some point. Yeah. I don't think she made it that far.
Too bad.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they started singing Proud Mary. Igor started singing Proud Mary at that point.
Ugh.
Terrible.
Is that really a revelation?
Well, not really a revelation, but it's probably why they named the character Mary, just so they could sneak that song.
They wrote in their own jokes for this thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, does anyone else have anything they want to add? Like,
yeah, I have a whole thing.
All right, wait, let's go. We got to go. We got to get into this because this thing's the whole show's a mess. So what's up?
Well, I know that you looked into this, Mike, a little bit yourself. Jay, I know that you did as well. Chris, I'm not sure if you did.
Probably not.
But I want to talk about sort of the bigger picture here with Bobby Pickett and his, like, lifelong sort of obsession of trying to get another hit. He did different versions of like, sequels to Monster Mash flopped. And reading into it, I just thought it was fascinating.
It really is, right? Like, I know there's at least recorded videos of Monster Mash, obviously. And then there's one that's Monster Swim is recorded. You can find it on YouTube. In fact, we'll put a link. We'll put a link in the thing for Monster Swim.
Oh, yeah. And I got a link to another one, too, called Monster Slash.
What?
He did around
the Guns N' Roses crossover.
You would think he did it around Halloween in 2004, and it was like a protest against George W. Bush.
His support for
logging and mining and environmental type policies. So Pickett felt like all this stuff was harmful. So here, I actually, this is not the Full House joke. Here's some lyrics for the chorus.
Holy shit!
Yeah, he did the slash. He did the forest slash. It was a brutal bash. Public opinion was mashed, and they did it for the cash.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've got a link.
Shit!
We will put it. I got a high quality link. We'll put it in the post.
Yeah, basically, it seemed like he tried to recreate his success of Monster Mash about once every 10 years or so.
So that in itself is like a horror movie. Every 10 years, Bobby Pickett returns from the grave to create a new version of Monster Mash.
Yeah, he died in 2007, and he never really recaptured. I mean, Monster Mash hit number one on Billboard charts, so that was obviously his huge number one hit. But he never was able to really recapture that success, and he tried the entire rest of his life.
And, you know, another weird thing I read about that was, and I don't know if this is true, this is just the rumor and innuendo, he wrote it with his co-writer in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
They just cranked the
Can
song
you imagine?
Out.
Can you imagine like coming up with something on the spot like that? And then spending the rest of your life trying to replicate it.
So weird.
You know that's kind of why I keep making Prince of Magic jokes.
Prince of Magic.
God damn it, Chris.
It's
exactly that, like that.
To expound upon that, Bobby Boris Pickett and Leo Carpazzi wrote the original Monster Mash.
Right.
Leo Carpazzi has nothing to do with any other versions or any other iterations of this song.
Wait, do you have that written down? Is that his name?
I think it's a girl.
No, it's Leo Carpazzi.
Because I had Lenny Capizzi written down.
Oh, I had Lizzie.
Jesus!
And I had Sarah.
What?
I don't know what's up with my name.
You did not.
If you look up the original Monster Mash, it's Leo Carpazzi, and it's him singing the original version of the song called The Monster Fuck.
No.
That might have been something from a Comedy Bang Bang sketch. It's on Funny or Die, though. That's a good bit. I'll put the link in the thing, too. It's really funny.
That might have been anyway. Like part of the Misfits version, their cover of the song.
Halloween?
We're all like Googling Leo Carpazzi.
No, the Misfits did a cover of Monster Mash.
It's not
bad.
They really?
Yeah, it's not bad.
But, you know, I just want to say that I can't decide whether or not I admire Bobby Pickett for trying so hard for the rest of his life to recapture the success of Monster Mash, or if I feel sad about it that he wasn't able to sort of move on from it.
I think you can feel both.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's Leo Capizzi for 100%.
Okay. That's not even close to a girl's name.
Well,
maybe,
he
I guess.
Put
I
L is, I don't know. Anyway, okay, so I also wanted to mention, if anyone noticed at the beginning, what the doorbell was when they got inside.
Yeah, shit, what was it? Damn it, I forgot.
I'll do my impression of it. Bang, 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 bang.
That's right.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Yeah.
What? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense in any way. They
had a little extra cash in the budget. They thought, well, we'll just buy the rights to that song.
They spent all the cash on that. There's no way that was cheap. That's fucking tons of money.
Sure.
They must have spent $8 billion on that and then had 12 to make the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, you know, I just give Bobby Pickett credit where credit is due. We mentioned, I did think that he was pretty good as Dr. Frankenstein. He definitely has sort of like a presence to him that's cool to
absolutely.
Watch.
Absolutely.
I also really appreciated how his hair got crazier and crazier as the movie went on.
Yeah, yeah, it did get bigger.
It was great.
So I almost feel bad. It's kind of disappointing that this movie just wasn't more enjoyable to watch, that they didn't like do something more with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my problem with it. I thought it was very interesting. Like the idea that it happened and what they did with it, but the product, you know. Eh.
Well, hey, can we talk about the ending just a little bit more? I mean,
yeah.
Cuz I got a sense that this the mansion was kind of like an Orgy of the Dead situation where the mansion disappeared.
Yeah,
when the sun rose. I mean, what happened?
Let's talk about what happened with the ending.
I have no idea. I had so checked out at that moment.
Well, so the
although
whole...
it did have a nice Tammy and the T-Rex callback with the brain switching.
Nice.
Yeah. Well. That was the bit. So, Chris, what was Dr. Frankenstein's objective then in this film?
He wanted to put a brain into Frankenstein. Just kind of the core of Dr. Frankenstein's story throughout history, and the boyfriend had a perfect brain.
How are your grades?
I'm on the dean's list.
Wonderful. Your major?
Physics. Minor in economics.
Fantastic. Your book smart. What is your hat size?
7 5/8.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, and we're going to do a big swap because the monster was going to get Scott's brain, right? And then Igor was going to get Scott's body. And then the monster's brain was going to get Igor's body. And Dr. Frankenstein straight up says, there's no real reason to do this, but...
Eh. Yeah, yeah.
That was the tagline for the movie.
The Monster Mash. There's no good reason to do this.
But then we touched on it really quick. There were also, you know, like the Dracula and his wife had their agenda, and the werewolf had his agenda.
And I guess Elvis and Hathaway have their agenda.
No, yeah, they didn't.
So everyone is vying to sort of use these supple teenagers for their own motives.
And their perky buttocks.
Which reminds me of one other thing, that when Dracula was taking over Candace Cameron, like hypnotizing her so they could marry, they made a bad breath joke. Like, she has the most foul breath that it makes even a vampire shudder.
Woo! If there's one thing I hate in the morning more than morning, it's morning breath. Oh, we get a problem here.
But he wanted to marry her anyway.
Probably true.
What? Paul, hold on. You think Candace Cameron has terrible breath?
I think after 8 years of Full House, she was burnt out. She was probably eating fast food and hooked on drugs. I mean, did you look at her during this movie? She did not look like she wanted to be there at all.
No.
Well, no, but can you blame? That's not because of drugs. That's because of the movie.
She might have just wanted to just leave to brush her teeth, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they wouldn't let her brush her damn teeth.
Yeah, I just think that she was hitting craft services a little too hard for this movie to compensate for how crappy it was, and, you know, a little garlic breath.
Hey, Paul, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah.
Paul, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think Candace Cameron had met Pavel Bure by this point?
Had what?
Do you think Candace Cameron had met hockey legend and Vancouver Canucks all-star Pavel Bure by this point?
Were they an item?
Her name is Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, right. She's married now. No, I don't think so, because I did the math on this, and I think that she was 19 when she made this, so probably not yet.
Mm. Okay. Just curious.
Sorry if that was an anti-climactic
answer. I don't know why I didn't
answer.
Include anyone else in that, because obviously Paul wouldn't know either, but, you know. Anyway.
I'm just really happy Mike did his research into Candace Cameron's personal life to even know that. Yeah,
I just, well, I
it's
did.
Important. I appreciate
no,
it.
No, as a kid, I did research into Pavel Bure's life, and I found out he married Candace Cameron.
Yeah, I tried to really go down the rabbit hole with research with this thing. I ended up on Bobby Pickett's official website, which is just like a GeoCities, you know. It was not good.
Site under construction GIFs.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, lots of flames at the bottom.
Paul, do you prefer the classic Full House theme or the Carly Rae Jepsen Fuller House theme?
Or the Bobby Pickett version of the Full House theme.
Shut up. Did Carly Rae Jepsen do the Fuller House theme?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? It's pretty good. It's pretty good, but...
Well, Carly Rae is great, so there's that.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, they're really, you know, basing that off of the original theme, so I gotta go with the, you can't top the original.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you want me to read the lyrics again?
No.
Whatever happened to predictability?
All right, guys. All right, let's get into ratings.
Rating time!
1 to 100 Monster Mash sequels.
That makes sense.
Well, Paul, since it makes sense to you, what do you give Monster Mash the movie?
You know, I didn't enjoy this movie, but that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody else out there might. Again, if you're 62 years old and you just got back from the Olive Garden on a Friday evening and you're looking to put something on the television before you pass out at 8:30 p.m., you know, maybe your husband is sitting next to you and you're drinking a Diet RC or something like that. I think that you would actually enjoy this quite a bit. It's kind of got that old school kind of 60s humor, and I don't think it was the worst thing in the world. I just didn't like it, so... I would have rated it 45 Monster Mash sequels, but again, because of the Monster Mash scene itself, where there was no good dancing for it, I gotta knock it down to 40 Monster Mash sequels, which is, I think, about the right number of sequels that there actually were.
That sounds about right. Jason Hulse.
Well, Paul, you're insane. I give this... I give this a 5.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
5. Counted on one hand. Yep. Cuz yeah, I think
why
the
five?
I'm trying to remember what my lowest score of the season was I think Josh Kirby. And that was an 11.
Jesus.
And so I had to ask myself, would I rather watch Josh Kirby or would I rather watch this again? And I would so rather watch Josh Kirby than this movie. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it just nothing worked. It was the humor. It just wasn't funny. Like you said, Paul, like the Monster Mash thing, the whole song, there was nothing there. Yeah. It didn't really fit. Like and when I said, you know, I joked earlier about how in the end they just leave, that's really what they do. Like all the monsters just for one reason or another kind of go away and they just walk out and there's really nothing to the ending and they don't really have any point to play in the resolution of anything. So it's just a complete mess. And the worst part about it, it's just boring. It's so boring.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I got to go 5.
All right, then. Let's hear what crazy Chris Hudson has
to say.
All
right. I have to disagree with Jay on this one. I think we have watched worse movies for the podcast. But, I mean, this movie really had nothing going for it. The jokes weren't funny. They were dated even at the time. The None of the songs were good. I mean, I feel bad for it because somebody, Bobby Pickett, like you said, Paul, was really tried very, very hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would much rather watch this over Josh Kirby. I gave Josh Kirby a 6. This one, I don't really like the Monster Mash sequel rating scale because that implies I would like to see more Monster Mash movies. So I'm going to rate this movie, well, because it's Halloween, I'm going to rate this movie 10 Undead Peaceways.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
I like that. I like that, Chris. As for all the listeners out there, you're always allowed to rate with a Peaceway.
And, Chris, I get what you're saying. I mean, pretty much we're just looking at it, the Josh Kirby is the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's whether you feel like this is a little bit above Josh Kirby or a little bit below Josh Kirby. That's where your interest is going to be.
Why don't I remember that one for some reason?
You weren't at that one, Paul.
Huh? No, he was there.
I don't remember.
Paul was at that episode, yeah.
Yeah, you were at that episode.
He had a lot to add to the conversation.
Paul did have a lot to say about that one thing.
Yeah,
Yeah, I can't believe that one thing. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, guys, let me finish this off.
I just want to finish by saying that I don't really feel like watching Josh Kirby or Monster Mash the movie ever again.
All right, so that's out there, so everyone knows this. All right, so myself, my rating. While I didn't like the movie, I wasn't offended by it. I mean, no, I was actually offended by it. Like, some of the sexual things were pretty, like, mid-90s. But in general, I wasn't offended by the badness. It was bad. It was just boring. But I really appreciate it as an artifact of... And the whole why the fuck this exists really intrigues me. My number before I heard all this other shit was 40. So I'm sticking with 40... Monster Mash sequels.
Wow. Well, B-movie maniacs, how do you like Democracy at Work? There you go.
That's how it goes. All right, now, here's the thing, though. This usually is where the episode ends, but not right now, because we had a special thing. We asked all of you folks out there that are listening and following us on social media if you had any questions for us. We're going to do a little Q&A right now, guys. Is that cool?
Totally.
Yeah, you know, it's fun because we usually don't get to do this sort of thing because... we record our episodes a little farther ahead in advance, so we usually don't have the format to do this type of thing. But since it's the Halloween special, you know, we're cranking it out pretty quick and can take some questions from you guys.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. First question. This is from Tim Bevlinka on Facebook. He asks, is the Monster Mash even a Halloween song?
I'm going to say an authoritative yes.
I say yes. Yeah.
You don't listen to monster songs on Valentine's Day, Tim.
Yeah,
I mean, I think his point was at no point in the lyrics of Monster Mash do they actually mention that it happens on Halloween. But my rebuttal there is that there's lots of Halloween movies that are considered sort of good movies to watch on Halloween that also, you know, either don't take place on Halloween or whatever.
I'm pretty sure none of the Friday the 13th movies takes place on Halloween.
Safe to say.
Well, and
like,
also,
like 90% sure.
The word Halloween is not in the lyrics of the Halloween theme song by John Carpenter.
Ah,
true, yeah.
There you go.
It is in the Misfits song.
I knew
Halloween.
It. I knew you were going to say it.
How's just, that go, Chris?
I was just waiting.
Halloween.
No, that's it?
No. Hey, I'm saving it for Halloween, Paul.
Well, Seth on Instagram, at Sethygram, asks, out of all the movies you've reviewed, which one felt like they were genuinely trying to make a good movie by acting, set design, music, writing, etc.? Which one came closest despite its flaws?
Oh, Fungicide.
Fungicide, you think?
Fungicide.
No.
Fuck you.
I would have to say... I'd have to say Big Money Rustlers.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call. I think there's several of them that we've reviewed that have tried to be good. I mean, Neil Breen tries to be good, you know?
Yeah.
I do agree with Big Money. I think Bad Taste was trying to be good. I think Joysticks was trying to be good. But for me, I think what actually came the closest to actually being good was Steel Dawn.
I was 100% going to say Steel Dawn as well.
Yeah.
There you go. Peaceway. Peaceway done.
Well, next question then. Adam on Twitter, which is at Adam Capetti, asks, I get tunnel vision for B horror, but I forget there's got to be a huge list of B comedy out there. If any, what are y'all's favorite B comedies?
Hmm. Great question.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Hmm.
Well, I know right off the bat that my answer and Mike's answer are the same answer.
We have two movies, I bet, that line up by the same guy.
Yeah, a little something called Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
And a little something called High Strung.
Nice.
Which I would debate a little bit on High Strung, because that always, to me, is more...
Indie?
An independent sort of indie comedy movie than a B movie, but... If, by chance, you haven't seen that one, which probably a lot of people haven't, definitely something to check out, High Strung by Steve Odekirk.
Rationale, I mean, Napoleon Dynamite would be a low-budget comedy.
A little bit on the higher end, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a quality movie, but it wasn't expensive or studio or anything. Okay, so you guys are probably going to kill me, but Illegal Aliens, hey... That's a comedy. It's a B movie.
Oh, wow.
It's funny.
Yep.
That reminds me, you can get into a lot of trauma movies like that. Toxic Avenger is a comedy.
Yeah.
That's a straight up fucking straight B movie. Rock and Roll High School.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, I love that one.
Sergeant Kabuki Man. Fucking Sergeant Kabuki Man?
Poltergeist.
Yeah. No, I hated Poltergeist, though.
Well, but it's a comedy, though.
Yeah, it is a comedy.
I'm not really into a lot of comedy movies. But I'd say any comedy movie that was on USA Up All Night way back.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Another question. This is from Chelsea on Twitter, at I Steal Your Coin. She asks, do you ever sit on the toilet and then accidentally pull up your pants without pulling up your underwear first?
I did that today. Twice.
Did you really?
Twice.
Do you pull up your pants without pulling your underwear first? So, like, as in all one go?
Well, my underwear today actually came out through my pant leg, so at one point I didn't.
Wait,
that,
what?
That was a nasty surprise for someone at work today.
Wait, what did you do at work with your... What?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, yikes. All right, well, all right. Last question I got here. This is from Chris on Twitter, at Chip Snackerson.
Me?
No, not you, I assume. Are you at Chip Snackerson?
I don't think so.
Well, then no. I think you're at Crispy Wings, if I may recall.
That's a relief.
What are your top three monsters you would invite to a party?
Well, I know mine.
What do you got?
Go.
say it. We're all thinking.
I do kind of like vampires, so I would invite Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
I have this... crazy obsession since childhood with the Blob. I'm sure the Blob is great at parties.
Dear God.
And I hope I don't break my mic with this next pick, but I would totally invite Green Slime!
Wow, Green Slime and the Blob in the same room together. That's going to get a little tense.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
That's bad news.
Yeah, I would probably... Yeah, I'm a big Godzilla fan, so it might be kind of tough to actually get him into a party, but he could hang out on the lawn at least. And then I would probably go with the mummy from Bubba Hotep. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah.
And the hunchback from a movie called The Television Executive. He's usually a pretty fun guy to have a party.
Family values.
It's a show about monsters. It's a little inside joke there. Sorry, everybody.
Jay, who are you going to invite to this party?
Well, okay. I'm going to invite Dracula also, because I think that'd be pretty cool. I would invite the little caterpillar dog from House 2. I don't know if you guys remember that little thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little cute like caterpillar dog creature.
Oh, what a great movie that was.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna go King Kong, and hopefully it's not down the block from Paul's party, because then there's gonna be a mess.
So hopefully it is.
Jay, you wouldn't invite the human centipede?
Oh, God.
I would not. I know, Chris. I want you to invite the Blob and the human centipede.
Hey, as long as I can still invite Green Slime. time.
Maybe worse, the slugs from Slither and the human centipede.
Mike?
I would like, because I think this is going to be a bit of a mess for this party. I'm going to invite the Toxic Avenger, because I think he'd clean it up pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
I think if we want a little fun, I'm going to invite a critter or two.
Oh,
oh yeah.
And then, I don't, tell me if this counts or not, but I think maybe we just all, this party that I'm envisioning might end with a good shunting. So is that considered a monster?
Monster-esque.
Yeah.
Can you, for the critters thing, can you just invite the critter ball from Critters 2?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
I really see Godzilla and the critter ball hitting it off pretty well, though.
How are we going to end this?
Just like that.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
That, I guess, wraps it all up, everyone. Thank you for everyone who voted and who asked questions and just everyone who listens to the podcast. You are all absolutely amazing, and the numbers are growing, and we love all of you, and thank you for interacting with us. Just fucking awesome. Coming up is going to be a week where I have two off-season episodes coming up, and it's going to be great.
One episode of Diary of a B-Movie Maniac.
Yep.
And one episode of Quick Takes.
Quick Takes! And that Quick Takes is going to be amazing.
I can't wait. Thanks for listening, everyone, and for voting.
Tell your friends. That's how this thing gets out, you know? Tell your friends you like this podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes, all that kind of shit. You know, what you hear from every other podcast.
5-star reviews, but, not those shitty 1-star reviews.
Hey, fuck it. If you got 1-star, if you think this thing sucks, give us a 1.
Yeah, you know, I would, at this point, I would take a 1-star review.
Happy Halloween.
Ooh, yes. Happy Halloween.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a heart, a hand to hold on to. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a face of somebody who needs you. When you're lost out there and you're all alone, a light is waiting to carry you home. Everywhere you look.